You're listening to Unraveling. This podcast brings together a collection of raw, authentic conversations about the messy truth of life. I'm your host, Lauren Barber, and I have created Unraveling to explore both my own and others' inspiring journeys to reconnect back to themselves. Unraveling is an expression of both the highs and the lows of everyday life and covers a medley of topics inspired by my own adventures, from magical mysticism, mental health and menstruation, to self-expression, co-creation, and personal evolution through movement, meditation and intuitive practices that help us remember and reclaim our true essence. Thank you for tuning in and joining me on this beautiful process of unraveling. Now, let's head to the show. Hi everyone. Welcome to episode 22 of Unraveling. I am talking to you today, just me on my own, about my yoga nidra journey, or at least the journey so far, which is really just beginning, but I feel very cool to share my findings so far and just to talk to you a little bit about my own experience with this amazing practice. Because if you have listened to my show before or you follow me on social media, you'll know that I have recently been away to Canada to do my yoga teacher training with an amazing woman called Tanis Fishman and also Heather from the School of Sankalpa. And I really feel drawn to sharing more about the work I did out there when I was on the training, but also just to delve a little bit deeper as to why I find this practice just, I think, possibly the most powerful thing I've found so far in my own healing journey and in my teaching journey as well. So it's hard to know really where to start, but I'm going to start with the first time I ever experienced a yoga nidra, which was probably about 4 years ago. It was before I did my teacher training, my yoga teacher training. And I experienced yoga nidra just as the form of kind of a very deep relaxation. And I don't know if I would say I probably was quite resistant to the practice, because at that point I didn't have a regular meditation practice. I wasn't very good at resting, but I was on a retreat and I remember it being a really beautiful practice. And I didn't really use yoga nidra at all in my practice regularly until a couple of years ago. And my really beautiful friend Alice introduced yoga nidra to me again, or reintroduced me to yoga nidra, a couple of years ago when she was supporting me with my hypothalamic amenorrhea, which was when I lost my menstrual bleed, because she had done a training with Uma, which I then went on to, that's Uma Dinsmore-Tooley, who I actually also went and did a training with earlier this year. She had done that training. It was the Well Woman yoga teacher training, or the womb yoga teacher training. And Uma's work is really deep in the rest and the relaxation, and yoga nidra is a huge part of the work she does. So Alice reintroduced me to this practice when I was working with her to sort of heal my relationship with my womb. And I haven't really looked back since then, to be honest. I didn't use it as a regular practice, but I would probably do an online yoga nidra at least, I don't know, maybe to start with, I was doing it a couple of times a month. And I resisted it for a while because I was still in that place of wanting to do and be in a sort of action-based place, should we say? But gradually over time, I started to learn how powerful this practice was. And I also introduced a meditation practice at that time, and then had gone on to do my meditation teacher training. So I was really starting to understand the power of rest, or the power of just giving my mind and my body some space to process and to heal and to replenish. So I started to introduce yoga nidra as a much more regular practice for my own healing journey, and started to introduce longer meditations where people were lying down in my classes, which seemed to go down really well. They weren't they weren't true yoga nidra practices to the point of what I'm now teaching, but they were a form of yoga nidra and they seemed to really have a really positive effect on people. So I was like, there's definitely something in this, even though it seems like the simplest practice on the planet, because you are lying down and just effectively letting the body sleep. but obviously I now know that there is a lot more to it. So I was using this practice a lot, and a year ago my menstrual bleed came back. So it's now, I'm pretty much like celebrating almost a year of my period being back, which is amazing. and I do definitely think that yoga nidra had a really positive impact on that, because it gave my body a chance to feel safe and to relax and to really receive that deep rest that it really needed. I think after a long time of doing and being in action and kind of being on the go, my body was really exhausted. And this is one of the reasons why I feel really passionate about sharing this practice, because I feel like we are living in this overstimulated, absolutely depleted society where people have actually forgotten how to rest. Me included. It's taken me a long time to get to the point where I can even just give myself some time just to lie down, even if it's just 10 minutes in a day. In our sort of ancestrally, years and years ago, we would have spent hours and hours resting, and we have totally forgotten that. And even when we feel like we're resting, maybe sitting on the sofa or, just sort of sitting on the train or whatever, we're still usually connected to our phones or to a TV or to listening to music, and all those things like are restful in their own way, maybe if they're used in the right context. But to do sort of to just be in a state of being rather than doing anything is something that's quite alien to a lot of us. As normal, I will be probably rambling a little bit on this podcast and going in different directions. I do always try and stick to sort of some kind of flow that makes sense, but things pop into my head and I just kind of share them as they come up. So where was I? I was just talking to you about my journey with yoga nidra. So up until probably earlier this year, I was doing yoga nidra maybe once or twice a week. And then I went away and I did my Well Woman teacher training with Uma in February, which was the womb yoga training. And a huge part of that, as I said already, is this deep, deep rest for the body, because especially when we're in certain phases, so our bleeding phase, or when we are at certain parts of our life, our body needs rest. It needs to just be deeply nourished by this complete surrender of doing and just allowed to be there. And actually, this is the place where the magic happens. This is the most powerful form of healing that I have come across. And the amazing thing is with this practice is that it's all something that we can do within ourselves. It's not something, okay, yes, there's some kind of guidance, but there are so many amazing resources online that give us access to that for free, that it really is kind of a question of why are we not doing this? but it takes a bit of a process to get to that. So anyway, I'll skip back to doing my womb yoga teacher training with Uma. We did 2 yoga nidras a day for a week, and my body felt so relaxed and rested at the end of that. I had a lot of emotions come up after doing that course, because it was a really deep remembering of my feminine essence and of the cyclical nature of myself. And being in a room full of women, really incredible women, was powerful. So from an emotional point of view, I had to a lot to process, and the yoga nidras, the practices, really helped let that information settle in. It was a beautiful gift to give myself, and it really sparked something in me. So since that course, I've been practicing yoga nidra a lot more often, and I spent some time kind of dabbling with different practices and looking at, I kind of knew when I came out of that course that I wanted to do some kind of training in yoga nidra just to understand it more. So I'm this kind of person that likes to know a lot about a practice before I teach it. And I really like to kind of integrate it into myself, which is part of the reason why I think I haven't taught that much of the womb yoga work yet, because it's still integrating into my body and into me. So it's kind of hard for me to teach it really authentically. And I do feel like you need to show up with that real true experience and that real true understanding in your body, not just from a sort of practical point of view. Anyway, I completely go off topic. standard, Lauren. So I knew at the end of that course that yoga nidra was going to be really important to me as a practice, and it was something I wanted to share. So I went on a kind of little journey of exploring different practices and different teachers. And one day I came across on Insight Timer, which is a free app that you can get and download. And it has some incredible resources on it for meditations. So if you haven't already got that, that's like a absolute essential in my life. Probably the one thing I really couldn't live without. Although I obviously need my phone to have it on, so I'd kind of need both. Anyway, so I found this yoga nidra one day, and it was a really beautiful practice, and it was about 50 minutes long. So I kind of had found it, and I hadn't had time to do it on that day, but I saved it because you can bookmark the practices on Insight Timer. So I came back to it, and I just had the most beautiful experience. Nothing like earth shattering, but just such a deep, deep sense of relaxation, a deep sense of kind of clarity, and just a feeling of peacefulness at the end of it. And I loved the voice, I loved the words that were used, just everything about it really spoke to me. And this practice was created by Tanis Fishman from the School of Sankalpa. And I followed the breadcrumbs, because on Insight Timer you can kind of go to the teacher's profile and you can look a little bit more detail up on them. And I went to her website and I started following her on social media. And I saw that she was doing this teacher training in Canada in October. And this was back in the summer. And something sparked in me, and I was like, I really want to do this, but I came up with all these resistances why I couldn't do it. It wasn't the right time. I just, you know, like I gave my sort of had a, quite a few excuses not to do it. So I left it and I went away and I came back. I think I had emailed them actually just to see if there was still space and whether, you know, there was space in the lodge that we were staying at. But then I just was like, no, like you can't do this, Lauren. You can't go to Canada and do this training. And then it wouldn't leave me. The thought of it just kept cropping up to me, and I knew I had to investigate further. So I looked into, I remember now. So when I had contacted originally, there wasn't space in the lodge. And I was like, well, I can't stay anywhere other than the lodge. And I can't stay in a shared room because it's a bit out of my comfort zone, and it kind of sparked anxiety off in me. But later on, when it must have been about August time, I think, I just had this, I'm going to do this. I was like, you know what? Life is short. I really, really feel drawn to this. I haven't stopped thinking about it. It keeps cropping up. I'll just email them and see if there's any way that I could stay in the lodge, because if I can't, then I know it's not right. And the amazing Heather, who is part of the School of Tsongkhapa, came back to me and she said that there would be a way that I could stay in the lodge. It would be in a like shared communal area, but they'd get a kind of pop-up bed for me. And for some reason I was like, yeah, I know I have to do this, regardless of the fact that staying in a communal area, let alone even sharing a room with someone, like, was totally outside of my comfort zone. It sounds a bit crazy, but for me that was quite a big deal. But I was like, I don't care, because I know I need to be there. And I had some personal stuff that was going on, and I was very honest and open about that to Heather, and she came back to me with just such beautiful words that just made me feel like I have to be there. Like, I just have to be there. I just need to be in the space with these people. It's going to be so healing for me. So yeah, so within about a couple of days, I'd paid the deposit, I'd booked my flight, and off I was going. And yeah, I had no resistance to going at all, but I had a lot of fear. So I was scared about flying to Canada on my own. I was scared about staying in a space where I didn't know people. I was scared about, you know, like, what, I don't know, what, I didn't know what to expect. And I actually went with very little expectations, other than the fact I was in complete and utter faith that I needed to be there for one reason or another. And I had no idea what that reason was. And it was just, yeah, it was just where I needed to be. So yeah, a couple of weeks or a month or so ago, I boarded a plane with my massive suitcase, and I headed straight out to Calgary. Got picked up at the airport and went, and we started. So I arrived on the Sunday. We started that Sunday evening or afternoon with a shared opening practice, and I was there for a week. And the day that it finished, which was the following Sunday, I got on a plane and I came back. So yeah, it was a week, and I don't know, it's hard to say what I expected. I had no expectations, but in the best possible way, if that makes sense. I just, as I said, I had total and utter faith that I needed to be in that space for some reason or another. So the week itself was, I've never experienced timelessness like it. It felt like I was there for lifetimes, but in a really amazing way. It wasn't like the time dragged. It just, every day was so full of incredible explorations and love and friendship and like open hearts and just open conversations. And it was just this pure adventure. And the nature there, we were staying in a really gorgeous lodge in Bragg Creek, which is about an hour from Calgary. And there was snow on the ground because they'd had an early snow. But we had really beautiful, warm, actually some really warm spots of weather where we actually got to sit outside and take out some of our lessons outside, which was amazing, just to feel that sort of sun on the skin. And I actually slept in the kitchen. So my kind of, one of the biggest things for me actually was this fear of not having my own space, of not having this place to go and retreat to, because I have a habit of, when things get tough, needing to sort of go introverted. And I've almost told myself this story that I am an introvert. And actually, I have moments where I need to be introverted, but I'm actually quite an extrovert. I'm a bit of both. I'm an ambivert, I think. But I was really scared that I was going to have nowhere to kind of hide away. And that turned out to be the absolute making of me because I had to stay open at all times. I had to be very vulnerable. I was sleeping in a kind of communal area. Thank goodness for earplugs is one thing I would say. But it was, so I set my bed up in the kitchen because our kitchen wasn't being used as an actual kitchen. It was just for some of the people in our lodge. And I sort of nestled myself in between the table and a work surface, and I set myself up a little kind of camp basically. And it was really amazing. And because I'm quite an early riser, I would wake up quite early. And all of the people in our lodge would kind of join me in the mornings. After the first couple of mornings, we kind of created our own little like soul family ritual where we would all gather around the table with our teas and coffees or whatever and snacks for the morning before breakfast, and we would pull some of my oracle cards. So I took a couple of decks with me, and we would sit there and we would all pull a card, and some people would journal, but we'd generally just chat about what was coming up for us from the card. And we had some really powerful conversations actually based on those mornings, and they were one of my highlights of the trip because they brought us close together. We were literally like one big family, and it was just such an incredible, beautiful time to share space together. And I would not have experienced that had I not had a bed in the kitchen. I had to learn to be very open, but it was one of the best things about the trip in some respects. It really taught me a lot about myself and about how it is okay and I am safe to be open and to be myself, and I don't have to always hide away. Even when there were some emotional moments, like the people that I shared the experience with were just, they held the space for every single one of us so beautifully. We all held space for each other, and there were tears, there was a lot of laughter. I met some amazing people on that trip, and it just, yeah, I now can see exactly why I had to be there, and I can't imagine my life having not done that trip. So if I hadn't followed those kind of whispers and that little breadcrumb trail that one day, it all would have been completely different. I'm so grateful for that. So I'm rambling on as ever. I said to myself I was going to make this a really short episode. Haven't even started talking to you about Yoga Nidra. So the course itself, the week itself, I wouldn't even call it a course. I'd call it like this journey, this adventure, this kind of a journey back to my soul, which might sound a little bit OTT, but it really genuinely was. I laughed, I cried, I loved, I hugged, it literally took me back to that place of me being my complete authentic self. There was not one moment where I had to hide a single part of me, and what a gift that was. Tanis and Heather and all of their team held the space so beautifully. We were fed amazingly by the beautiful Nikki. We were looked after in the lodges. We had firewood for fires. It was just awesome, just such a magical experience. And I'm obviously going to gush about this for a long time. But the course itself was broken up into three modules. The first module, we started to learn a lot more about what Yoga Nidra is, the practice, kind of the template of the practice. We experienced Yoga Nidra ourselves twice a day. We learned a lot about the neurological sides and the impacts of Yoga Nidra on the brain and how our sort of thought processes work. And that part for me was so fascinating, but it's definitely something I'm still kind of going over my notes and getting really clear on, because science stuff is not always the easiest for me to integrate. So I have to really kind of bring it into the practice and really kind of go over it to let that settle. But those first few days were really packed full of learning and were quite mind-blowing, literally. And then the second 2 days, which was, I think, one of the reasons that Tanis's work really stood out for me, because she does so much work on beliefs and Sankalpa. So Sankalpa is our personal resolve. It's an I am statement. So it's in the positive present tense, so as if it's already happened. And it's like an intention, but it's sort of something that is basically kind of bringing your deepest desires to the surface and stating it as if it is already in place. So for example, I am calm, I am love, I am peace, I am relaxed. So it's not about something, it's something that you wish and desire for, but you state it so that you are already living it. So it's not like you're coming at it from a lack mentality, you're coming at it from an I already have this mentality. Because the idea is that in the yoga nidra state, we can access our subconscious through the practice and actually plant this seed in really fertile soil within our subconscious to reprogram our beliefs. And that is something I will definitely delve into more on another episode. But that's kind of it in a nutshell, or that's my understanding of it in a nutshell at the moment. I'm sure that will evolve. But what Tanis does is that she does a lot of work with our core beliefs. So the beliefs that we all sort of, the limiting beliefs, I suppose, that we, a lot of us operate from. So let me give you an example. The belief that I do not matter in the universe, that I'm invisible, that I am not worthy, that belief at some point will probably have served me in some shape or form, maybe when I was a child, or it could be ancestrally, that's sort of passed down. That belief has served a purpose, but it's no longer truth. It's no longer useful to me. But because it's so deeply ingrained in me, I have to work, well, I in order for me to start acting from a place of, well, from not from the place of that belief and actually believing that I am worthy and taking action from that place, I need to reprogram that belief. And affirmations are great, but unless you are repeating them or working with them in a way that when your brainwaves are in a alpha or theta state, so that you can actually reprogram your subconscious, then they don't necessarily do very much. So the work of Sankalpa and of beliefs, of working through these beliefs, is done in this state of deep rest, this state of deep relaxation. And I know I'm skipping around here and I'm probably not explaining this very well. I will keep delving into this subject. Just bear with me. So just in a sort of short form, when we are in doing mode, so when we're sort of doing things in our everyday life, our brain waves are acting in beta state, which is kind of our doing mode. When we're stressed and when we've got a lot going on, those brainwaves get quicker and faster and we're acting from this high beta brainwave state. When we're in that state, we can't access our subconscious. We can't get to the point of healing and relaxation and actually reprogramming those beliefs. So all the time we're in that state, we can't actually change. So we need to be in an alpha or theta, which is a deep rest state. Alpha state is the sort of next state down from beta. So when you are in relaxation, it's the sort of place before the dream state, if that makes sense. So that time, that place where you feel really deeply relaxed and you're very much in the present moment, you're actually observing what's going on in your body, you're observing your breath perhaps. You might be just in this really deep restful state. In that place, you can start to reprogram and and access your subconscious thoughts. So that's sort of that work on understanding the use of Sankalpa in yoga nidra and the benefits of working in that deep, relaxed state was really powerful. So Tanis actually gave used dowsing rods and energy and her own intuition to establish what our beliefs were, and what we were kind of actually operating from. Sort of the kind of, if you like to think of it as like the baseline computer program. And so we were able to formulate a Sankalpa that actually helped us to reprogram those beliefs. And I've been working with my Sankalpa now since the course, and I can genuinely say that I am already experiencing profound shifts in my life. I'm already feeling more connected to my heart and soul. I'm being braver. I am really sort of, I feel like I'm able to rise a little bit stronger into my power and into my authenticity and actually speak my truth. And yeah, I'm just finding that using the Sankalpa is just hugely, hugely instrumental in my life at the moment. And I'm excited to see if the shifts that have happened can happen within a month, then I'm excited to see where it will take me next. So anyway, the last couple of days of the training were the more practical element of learning actually how to teach yoga nidra, writing scripts, which is one of my favorite things to do because it gives me a chance to really tap into that creative side that I love in my writing. And then obviously being guiding people through those yoga nidras to get feedback and to kind of show that we have an understanding of the practice. So yeah, that was my week. We're now half an hour in and I haven't actually even really gone into the practice in that much detail. Okay, so before I completely throw this episode on its head and I start rambling, I just want to explain to you a little bit more about the practice itself and why it's so powerful, to me anyway. So yoga nidra means, and I probably should have started this episode with this, but hey, you're getting my journey of it anyway. Yoga nidra is like yogic sleep. So it's a state where the body is resting deeply and is sort of almost is asleep, but the mind stays awake and alert. So you're in an you're in the position of the observer, but your body is receiving this deep, deep rest, which in itself, even if you kind of don't access necessarily the different layers of the sort of mindset work in yoga nidra, just the simple act of laying down and relaxing your body is so incredibly powerful. So everyone's going to take something different from yoga nidra. For me, it has been this practice of letting my body know it's totally safe to relax and learning to go deeper and deeper into relaxation. So now to the point where I practice a yoga nidra virtually every single day, and I notice that I can access that relaxed state a lot quicker than I could before. It's also hugely impacted my sleep, in the sense that I have extra tools to help me relax and then sort of disconnect from that busy mind before drifting off to sleep. Some people do use yoga nidra for sleep. I actually find if I do a yoga nidra too close to bedtime, I don't sleep as well because it almost recharges me. But on the other side, for the practice for me, this being able to access this deeper part of my subconscious and this deeper this being able to access my intuitive being and my creativity and allow space for the really important things to come up rather than the kind of busyness, that's been really pivotal to me. And some of my really deepest realizations have come from the yoga nidra practice. So I will nearly always have a journal by me at the end of my practice, and the kind of the time just after for me is like my mind is at its most connected, I guess, to what my soul and my heart want. So people will get different things from their yoga nidra. How it works is there are these subtle layers in the body, and the practice takes you through a from the sort of outer layer to the inner layer through this template. And this template, as Tana said, it's not sexy or trendy. It's really effective, and its beauty is the simplicity of it. And I love that. It genuinely works. It's just, you know, you don't have to mess around with it. It's, you know, in its simplest form, it really, really works. So let me just explain to you how the practice works. If I was guiding this in a class, I would actually do just some very gentle movement just to prepare the body, but that's not essential, just to open up the body and connect us sort of more to the body and less in our heads, and then work on a deep relaxation. So yoga nidra is practiced lying down on the ground or on a mat, and you can use props if you would like. So you can use things under your knees, you can use things under your head, but I've actually found that the less props the better for me, because I like to be really connected to the earth. So I actually lie on a sheepskin, and I have a very small pillow just underneath my knees, and I have a blanket covering me up, because the blanket just kind of offers this extra layer of protection, and the body temperature does drop during yoga nidra, so it's really nice to stay cozy. I'd also really always recommend some slippers or like slipper socks on your feet, because the feet tend to get quite chilly, and if you have cold feet, it really distracts from the experience. So we start with relaxing and kind of withdrawal of the senses. So we just sort of start to become more inward and really observe where the body's at in that present moment. And then we have an opportunity to state our sankalpa, so our intention or resolve for the practice, and really plant that seed. And then we work through the first layer, which is the Anamaya kosha, our physical body. So the koshas are these five layers, these subtle layers in the body. They start with Anamaya kosha, which is the external, so the physical body. And then we work into Pranamaya kosha, which is the energetic body. We then work with Manamaya kosha, which is the emotional body or the sort of mind body. And then the next layer down is Vijnanamaya kosha, which is our intuitive body, our intuitive layer. So this kind of inner wisdom that we can connect in with. And then we work with Anandamaya kosha, which is this bliss layer, this kind of just feeling of just being at one and at peace. And then beyond that is the Atman, which is the soul. And it's not to say that every time you do a yoga nidra practice, you are going to connect deeply with every single layer, with your soul. Like that's not the objective of the practice. In fact, there is no objective with the practice. This is not a doing practice. This is a being practice. So whatever happens in your yoga nidra practice is exactly what is meant to happen. And it's all about being that observer and being just being. So we start with a process of body scans through the different parts of the body, just to really connect with the physical body. So Anamaya kosha, that external physical layer. And then we work with attention on the breath to connect with the Pranamaya kosha, which is the energetic body. We then work with opposite sensations for the Manamaya kosha, so our emotional body. So you might have heard in a yoga nidra, if you've done one before, the kind of light and heavy, the hot and cold. You will be asked to experience those sensations in a relaxed state. Then we work with Vijnana Maya Kosha, which is this intuitive body, and that usually comes in the shape of rapid visualizations, and also that can lead on to a more extensive visualization practice, which is where I really love guiding people, because I can get really creative with my words, and I just love sort of allowing people to go on a little journey and explore themselves and their creativity, I guess. And then there is some time, if possible, to just be in that Anandamaya Kosha, that sort of bliss layer, and just be in that stillness and that quiet and that just sort of that complete observational point. And then the practice finishes with restating our sankalpa. So we're planting that seed once again into our subconscious to really kind of let it take root. And then the practice ends, and it's a chance to just integrate yourself back into the present moment, just slowly. I love to guide people out of this place because it's just such an honor to bring people back to the present moment and to see people's like this feeling of sort of deep rest is just wonderful. It's one of my favorite things to do. And just giving people time just to come around quickly, the opposite of quickly, come around nice and gently, you know, just sort of being very nurturing and also giving them time just to be in that space as well, which many of us don't get on a regular basis, don't get access to this time just to be. So that in a nutshell is the practice. It's only taking me 40 minutes to actually get to that point. So I'm going to try not to go on too much more about this, other than just to say that this practice has literally changed my life, more so than any other practice I've ever done, any other healing work I've done. This has been, without doubt, the absolute medicine, the most powerful medicine, and yet the most simplest medicine, really, when it comes to actually what needs to be done, just to simply just be and lie down and rest the body. And I'm feeling so, so passionate about sharing this practice more, but I'm kind of letting it again settle and integrate into my body and into my lifestyle before I go trying to take the world on with it. However, there is this real fire that has been sparked within me, this knowing that I really need to share this practice, because I feel like there is such a need for this rest, this opportunity to rest, and I really just want to help people remember that they have access to this really incredible, powerful healing practice within themselves. And that might not be necessarily going to a yoga nidra class, or even it might not be yoga nidra at all, but just by accessing this restful state and being in this relaxed state of mind and body, it's just, we've forgotten how to. We have forgotten how to rest. And I feel very, very strongly that the sort of the future of our well-being, both physical and mental and emotional, really, really relies on us relearning how to rest and reclaiming rest without the guilt that often comes with stopping and slowing down and being still, without this fear of what will people think of me if I'm not in the doing mode all the time? What will people think of me if I like dare to take an hour to myself to rest and to just lie down? You know, like people will think I'm lazy. And that's actually something that's come up for me quite a lot, is this belief that people would think I was lazy if I'm taking an hour to myself to do a yoga nidra practice. And I am calling bullshit on that. I am calling bullshit on this pressure to not allow ourselves to rest and to feel guilty for actually slowing down and stopping and giving ourselves this medicine. It's time to stop that. I'm telling you. I'm not telling you. I'm telling you with love. So I am, if you're listening to this when it comes out, in the week it comes out, I'm actually going to do a live yoga nidra practice online on Friday, the 23rd of November. If you would like to join me, then there are links in the show notes to sign up to join me in that. However, if you can't make that, or if you listen to this later, then I will be providing the recording for that as well. And there are going to be more nidras coming to my website and beyond. And I will be announcing some in-person events soon. So keep an eye out for that. And I would love to answer any questions that you might have. I appreciate that this episode has been a complete ramble download and may not make any sense whatsoever to anybody else. So I do apologize if it's been a little bit chaotic, but you know me, I'm all about just free flowing. I don't write notes. I don't plan these episodes. I just let things flow. And it always surprises me that I can talk for this long and just, yeah, keep rambling on. So anyway, I will stop now and let this settle in for you. Let this integrate. I would welcome any questions. As I said, please join me in the Unraveling Deeper Facebook group, or you can email me questions at lauren@laurenbarber.co. Or check out or send me a message on Instagram or Facebook, whatever platform you are on. And if you enjoy this episode, then let me know. But also, it would be really amazing if you could possibly leave a little review or subscribe or share it with someone that you feel like might find it beneficial. That would be so amazing. I would be very, very grateful for you to do that. So I am going to say goodbye until next week, when we have the amazing Sinead Dohora on the podcast, who is going to be sharing some amazing magic with us. And I would just urge you to just keep following the curiosities, following the whispers, and enjoy the beautiful process of unraveling.